Hello and welcome. Thanks for joining us here at Believers Victory Church. Today we have an inspiring, powerful message that will change your life. Let's listen in as Pastor Peggy Heal teaches us from the Word of God.
Praise the Lord! Woo, God is so good, isn't He? All the time, every time. He's on time. Sometimes doesn't seem like He's on time, but He is. Amen, He is. We just got to keep trusting, keep knowing God's got a plan for us. You know, Angel put something on his Facebook yesterday. It was so good. You know, sometimes a Facebook message is just a great message. Amen? It's what you need. And he wrote, I don't want to mess it up. What'd you say? You said, it's amazing how things straighten out when act like the Word of God is true. Yeah. Isn't that good? It's amazing how things straighten out when you act like the Word of God is true. Yeah. And you know what? The Word of God is true.
That's right.
It is true. And you know what? We just need to act like it. And when you do, stuff starts straightening out. And Pastor Angel shared the last 2 weeks on Wednesday night on faith. And I know he's mentioned a couple times the faith devotional that really ministered to him. Those are at the Connection Center. I encourage you to get one. And you know, that's a good thing. He's been talking about it. This Wednesday night, we're going to keep talking about faith. But today, we're going to keep talking about love. Woohoo! Say it with me, love. You gotta say it like that though, love, right? All right. Because you know, how many have noticed that the world is really just crazy? Is it crazy or what? It is just crazy. I mean, it seems like every day you turn the news on, something crazier has happened. And but you know what? We shouldn't be surprised, because the Bible tells us that the dark will get darker. But you know what? Darkness can never extinguish light. And so, you know, it's important not to be in fear and not to get moved in the wrong direction when we watch the news and stuff like that. Let's make sure we're getting moved in the right direction. And that's towards the love of God, the way of God, the will of God. Amen. The power of God and the plan of God. We want to make sure that when we see craziness, that it doesn't move us over into fear. How many know that'd be easy? Because it's crazy. The world is crazy, you know. But the thing is that God is still for you. God is not against you. The Bible says that if God be for you, who can be against you? Amen? And so, you know what? It's always important just to remind yourself that no matter what we see, no matter what people say, no matter what's going on, Jesus is still the King of Kings.
Amen?
Amen? His word does not change. The power of His word does not change. The enemy and the plan of the enemy does not change the power of the Word of God. And so I just encourage you to hold on to that. Keep yourself stirred up in faith. Don't let fear come. Because you know what? Sometimes things shake you a little bit, but always make sure you move out of that fear and back into faith and say, you know what? God's going to get me through.
That's
Amen?
Right. Amen?
God's got a plan. God's going to get me through. I'm just going to stick with God, and He's going to carry me through. Doesn't that sound good?
Amen.
All right. But you know, every Sunday just about, when I'm getting ready and everything, you know, I don't wake up like this, you know? I know some of you young people, you're just so... See, that's a good husband right there. You hear that? That's a good husband right there. That's a point. A couple of them. But, you know, I listen to a couple of songs, and, you know, I'm not a real huge music person, although I married a music person. But there's one particular song I really like. Baby, you got to help me out with it. It's the one, because I always mess up the words, always. I can hear a song 100 times, and then I'll be singing it, and Scott will look at me, and he'll go like, that's not how that goes. That's not even how that goes. So I'm like, it's how it goes today.
That's not how any of that works.
Yeah, that's not how that works. But it's a song that says, I lay my life down at your feet, that one. You know what I'm talking about? We sing it here all the time. Somebody help me sing it. It's one of you singers. Arms wide open, you know. Yeah, that one.
Yeah.
But anyway, the part I like in that song, see, I'm terrible with music. The part I really like in that song is, have your way. Have your way, Lord. And you know, especially my whole life is yours. Have your way. And, you know, and that's I know that's all of our heart's cry. Lord, have your way in us. My life is yours. But especially on Sunday morning, that is my heart's cry. Lord, have your way. Because, you know, you don't want my agenda. We don't want your agenda. We want God's agenda. Amen? And, you know, in everything that's going on, I shared this a couple weeks ago, I just prayed and asked the Lord, Lord, in this time, in this troubling time that we're in, and with everything just seeming so uncertain and unstable, what is the message for our church, for our people? What is the message? And the Lord spoke, you know, I wanted to, you know, do something really, you know, powerful in the battlefield or something. And the Lord just kept saying, it's love. Because how many know that the world needs to hear the truth? They need to hear the truth. They need to hear the truth of the gospel. They need to hear the truth that there's hope for them. They need to hear the truth that there is healing for their body. They need to hear the truth that there's a second chance for them, a third chance, a 1,000,000th chance if they need it. They need to hear that God is love and God cares for them. Amen. That is what changes people from the inside out, is the power of God's love. But here's the thing, and the Lord just is reminding me, you know, all this week in preparing for today, we are the messengers of that message. And if we don't have love in our lives, no one is going to listen to the message that they so desperately need to hear. Because we learned these last few weeks, we've talked a lot about love. We know that love is a choice, that the Bible tells us to put on love. It's not an option for you as a believer. The Bible says that we're commanded to love. And so it's not like, I don't feel like it today. It's a command from Jesus to love. The Bible says that if you don't love, then you don't know God, because he is love. And then we've learned these last few weeks that the Bible tells us that what matters most to God, what matters most is our faith that causes us to love others. And so in all the craziness going on, we could bring in the best speakers and they could teach us about faith. They could teach us about, you know, battlefield and releasing your faith and, you know, supernatural power of God. All that. We could have all that. The best messages ever. But if they go into people who don't have love in their life, the Bible says that they're not worth anything. Because if you don't have love in your life, what you say doesn't matter. What you do doesn't matter. What you believe doesn't matter. What you give doesn't matter. In 1 Corinthians 13, it says that you can talk in the language of angels. You can know every language there is to speak, even the language of angels. But if you don't have love, nothing you say matters. It says you can give everything you have to the poor. If you don't have love, doesn't matter. It says you can have faith to move mountains, but if you don't have love, it's not worth anything. It says you can give your body to be sacrificed and burned, but if you don't have love, it doesn't mean anything. How many can see this is a big deal? And so in a world that is hurting, in a world that needs the truth, we've got to make sure that we've got the one thing the Bible says we need to make any difference. And that is, we have got to have lives of love. We gotta love people. We gotta walk in love. You know, my brother, Pastor Mark, who most all of us in here, well, all of us really, if you've been impacted by this church, you were impacted by him. Because he raised us. He raised me. He raised God. He raised me. He raised most of us in here. And whenever anything was going on in your life, if things weren't working out, and you walked up to Pastor Mark and started telling him your story, what would he ask you? How's your love walk? Because he knew that that's what mattered most. That you can, you got everything else going on, but if you're just a big jerk, then it's not going to work for you. Because you're missing what matters most. And so we've talked so much about love these last few weeks. And we got up here, love is, Pastor Scott made that, isn't he pretty creative? And so we're going to look here, and we're going to keep going. So turn over to 1 Corinthians 13. You can follow along on the Bible app. We put it all on there for you today. But I'm going to read something that's not on there. I'm just going to start in 1 Corinthians 13, just to remind us. Verse number 1, and it says, "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing." That's powerful, isn't it? Let's keep going. "And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing." And then in verse number 4, it starts talking about how love acts, what love does. So we've talked so much about love, but now let's see how love acts. Because a lot of times we have no idea how love acts, because we haven't seen it, we haven't experienced it, but we need to go to the source, because we've seen some immature love, we've seen some counterfeit love, we've seen human love, but we're going for the God kind of love. We're going for the love that God has for us. So he tells us how love acts. And so in verse number 4, this is where we're going to start out today. And you guys are going to be so excited about what I'm preaching on. I just know it. I mean, there's going to be so many amens. And you guys are just going to be like, I think somebody probably is going to jump up and down and shout. I mean, I feel it. You ready? Verse number 4, love suffers long. That's it. Your Bible might say love is patient. We're going to talk about patience. Thank you. Who is that? I mean, I know you guys are just so excited, you know, because, you know, if you say we're going to have a how to increase your finances seminar, everybody would be like, woo, glory. But you know what? You can hear that message on how to increase your finances, but if you don't walk the message of love, that message will not work for you. Because remember what Pastor Mark used to say, how's your love walk? How's your love walk? Because the Bible says that faith works by love. And so, and right here in 1 Corinthians, it says you can have faith to move a mountain. But if you don't have love, it's not going to profit you. And so when we say we're going to talk about love is patient, if we had a real understanding of it, we'd all be like, woo, glory. I need this. Look at your neighbor and say, I need this. Some of you are like, I'm not saying it. I will not say it. You need this message. Love is patient.
That's right.
So, and we're actually going to do two of them, because let's keep reading here. It says, love suffers long, is patient, is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked. Or another translation said, is not easily provoked. So we're going to take these two, patience and not easily provoked, we're going to combine them together, because they go together. Here's what patience is. Here's a real easy way to, some people think, well, patience means I'm able to sit and wait a long time. Well, yeah, that might be part of it, but patience means that you have a very long fuse. You don't have a short fuse. You have a long fuse. You don't boil over easily. Now, how many say, and don't raise your hand, but how many think there's probably somebody in this room who might need this message? Maybe. If not, we'll just warm up for third service, because we know they all need it, right? They all. So it's just a warm up for those guys in third service. And so we want to be, love is patient. So that means if I'm going to have love in my life, if I'm going to be walking in love, because, you know, we're walking out our life. When we say, how's your love walk? It's how is love walking out through your life? How are you on a daily basis with loving people, loving God, and loving yourself? That's what that means. And so it means that in my daily walk, that means when I'm at Publix, when I'm driving in my car, when I'm dealing with the kids, when I'm dealing with your spouse, your coworkers, that's the love walk. Here at church, we're all super nice and loving, right? How many have somebody be nice to you today? You know, like, hey, how you doing? Glad to see you today. You know, but this is great. It's easy to love these people because they're church people. You know, usually it's easy to love them. Some of you guys, you know, it's a little, you know. You make it a little more complicated and difficult, but, you know, for the most part, we're all easily loving in here. But it's outside that we really got to work on it. So for our love walk to be going well, for us to have this movement in our life, because we know it's what matters most to God, love is patient. So I have a long fuse, And I don't boil over easily. That's what God is looking for. And here in South Florida, how many know that's hard? It's hard. But you know what? It's possible. Let's go here. So we're going to talk about patience. Patience! And you know what? It's so important. And patience in our relationships, patience on the job. Really, this, what we're going to talk about today, if we'll grab it and start walking in it, I guarantee you it's going to help your relationships with your family, your relationships on your job. If you know, I've seen more people lose a job because they can't control themselves. Because a patient person controls their temper. If you cannot control your temper, the Bible says that you are like a city without walls. You are defenseless. More damage is done in relationships and to other people because somebody couldn't control their temper. Because when our temper goes, we say stuff that is hurtful and damaging. And you know what? I'm sure every one of us in this room, we have done it. And we have been on the other side of it where words have been spoken in anger and they have hurt us. And we have hurt people. And the thing about words are so powerful because once those words are out, they're out. And you can say I'm sorry a million times, but those words are already out. The Bible says that careless words pierce the heart. And once those words are out and they have pierced the heart of someone that you love, that you care about, it doesn't matter how many times you say you're sorry, because you know what that person, you know what they're feeling? You thought it and you said it and it hurt me. And so then you have to go through, you got to be repaired. And you got to believe God for that healing. And how many know that's a long road? There might be people in here, I know for myself, there are things that maybe somebody has said to me, I mean, I don't think about them every day, but if I'm reminded of them, there's still a twinge of pain there, something somebody has said. And so we've got to make sure that we are able to control our temper, because we are believers, we are Christians, we are supposed to be Christ-like, and this is one of the things that causes damage like nothing else is when people can't control their temper. So when the Bible says love is patient, it's not easily provoked, it's saying you got a grip. You got a grip. Because you know what? You're going to get angry. Don't look around. You're going to get angry. Somebody is going to tick you off. Because people are just people. And people, let's just be honest, are aggravating. Right? You know, I mean, God bless him. My husband is nearly perfect, but he is a little aggravating. You know? And I don't even know how he deals with me, because I'm very aggravating. I mean, I know. But, you know, with Pastor Scott, you know, he sings loud at the house, sings loud all the time. You know, which usually is great, but every once in a while, I'm just kind of like, you know? And then he wakes up super early and super chipper all the time. All the time. This is Scott. Good morning! What's happening today? Let's go. Let's seize the day. Carpe diem. Let's go. You know? And you know, for me, because this is me. I'll seize the day in 5 more minutes. Give me 5 more minutes, you know? And so, you know, it's just, you know, those little things. Sometimes those little things are the things that set off big things. And so we've got to be able to control our temper in those little things, control those emotions. You know, God gave us emotions, and emotions are great. How many in here you love to laugh? You know, rest of you guys know? No? You know, we love to laugh. And how many, none of the guys are going to agree with this, but how many of you ladies, you know, you every once in a while you love to watch, you know, a good love story, you know, and at the end you're like, boo-hoo, you're crying, you know, and your husband's like, why? Why are you watching that? Be like, oh, it's such a good movie. It's so great. You know, your tears and everything. I mean, you know, emotions are a great thing, and they help us experience life to the full. But here's the thing. We don't want to be controlled by our emotions. Amen. We want to be, the Bible says that we're to be led by the Spirit of God. Yes. And we don't want to be led by our emotions. So we can never let what angers us lead us. Because when you let what angers you lead you, it's going to lead you somewhere you don't want to be. And you're being led by flesh. You're being led by a part of you that shouldn't be leading. And it's just going to take you somewhere you don't want to go. And so it's so important that we learn love is patient, that we have temperance in our life. We have control over our emotions. Amen? So here we go. We're going to be talking about, you know, I like to do this. I love to count things off, and it's just how my mind works. If I'm at the grocery store and there's a magazine and it says, you know, 5 ways to clean out your junk drawer, I'm like, 5 ways? Let me see. All right, got it. You know, that's just how I think. You know, I like 5 ways to do this, 3 ways to do that. That's just how I think. So here we go, 5 ways to get a grip on your anger, right? Because everybody's got it. There's nobody in here that hasn't gotten angry at one point or another. Even Jesus got angry. Even Jesus got angry. The Bible says, in your anger, sin not. We're all going to get angry, but we just got to know how to handle it because we got to be patient. So here we go. We're going to do 5 ways, but let's start here. In 1 Corinthians 13:5, it says, love is not easily angered. In James 1:19, it says, everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. The Bible doesn't say don't get angry. It just says don't become easily angered. It says slow to anger. And Jesus was angry, so we know it's not a sin to be angry. In Mark 10:14, it says when Jesus noticed this, he was angry. And he said to his disciples, let the children come to me. He was angry because they were keeping the kids away from him. And so, you know, the thing is that anger is going to come, and there's some things we should be angry about. You know, when you watch the news and you see people being treated poorly and you see injustice and you see, you know, Christians being persecuted, that makes you angry, and that's okay. But here's where temperance is going to come in, because the world needs to know the truth, right?
Amen.
We're the speakers of that truth. We're the messengers. And if you can't have a conversation with someone who disagrees with you without blowing your top and calling them names and going berserko, you're closing the door to ever being able to talk to that person about anything. Because people don't know the truth. And until they know the truth, they're going to say stuff that's crazy. But you've got to be able to hear it without going berserk. And you know what? We're in such a polarized society right now, whether you're either this way or this way. And if you don't agree with me, then you're this, 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 and this. That's not really love. We got to be able to keep our cool while we're talking to people and speaking the truth to them. Because if we're the ones blowing up and storming out the door, who's going to come behind us and tell them the truth? Right? I don't know about you, but there's a lot of things that I was wrong about that I didn't receive it the first time somebody told me. I received it a couple other times later. And so I'm glad that that person just kept loving me and just kept being kind and speaking truth to me, even though I really didn't want to hear it. Because one day, it clicked. And one day, it changed me. But you know what? Had they called me names and told me I was a loser and told me I was an idiot and all that kind of stuff and stormed out the door, the next time they come, I'd be like, I don't think so. I don't want to hear from you. But they weren't like that. What they said was truth, and they spoke it in love, and I kept listening. And then one day I was talking just like they were, because it changed me. That's our job, amen? And so here we go. When we're talking about keeping our cool and not getting so angry, we got to realize that we're kind of like cars. You know, if you're in a car and the gauge flashes and it's hot, what do? Turn it off. If your dad never told you that, you turn the car off right away. You don't want your car to overheat. But you also don't want to run your car where it's always just about to overheat, right? where, you know, it never has enough of what it needs. And as people, we don't want to be like that either. Some people are like that. They're just, you know, one block away from blowing the radiator. They're just constantly on the verge of blowing up. You know, we don't want to be like that. We want to have that well-maintained walk with God where we are at peace and we're able to control what we're hearing. We can hear it without going berserk. And you know, you say like, well, who's this for? It's for all of us, because you know what? We've probably all lost our cool at one point or another. We've probably all said things we shouldn't have said, and we've all done things we probably wish we hadn't have done because we were angry. So it's time to just, number one thing we're going to do to make this different is, you know, we got to break the pattern of anger. I say this all the time. All of us were raised up under a pattern. You know, have you ever noticed that once in a while you hear yourself saying things your mother said and you're horrified and mortified, right? You know, I'll never forget the one time I was taking Amber shopping and we were out. And I was like, do you like this? No. Do you like this? No. And then I held something. I said, what about this? She says, no, I don't like that. And I said these words. What do you not like about it? And in that moment, I just was like, oh, my goodness. I've become my mother. I put the shirt down. I said, let's go. We're out of here. We got to go. She's like, what's the matter? I'm like, I'm my mother. We've got to leave. Because I remember as a kid shopping with my mother, and she would say, what about this? I'd be like, no. And she'd say, well, what don't you like about it? And I would be such a jerk. I'd go, I just don't like it. But then when it was me in that position, I realized that I just want to know what she didn't like about it so I could pick other stuff. But I didn't know that. I had become my mom. Which in some ways is great, in other ways, maybe not so great, right? But we all have a pattern that we follow. And if we don't change the pattern, we're just going to repeat whatever was set before us. And so if you're here today and you say, you know what, I've got an anger problem. I'm blowing up on people. I'm doing this. There's two ways that usually people deal with anger. I call one of them the skunk and one of them the turtle. You can be whatever is you. The skunk is this. When you're angry, what does a skunk do? It spews out on everybody. Everybody knows it's been there. Everybody knows its impact and how it feels. It has skunked the room. Anybody know anybody like that? And then there's the turtle. Whenever there's, you know, something comes up, the turtle in the shell. In the shell. I don't want to deal with it. I'm not going to talk about it. I'm in the shell. You're like, no one's home, right? And really, neither one of these ways is a good way to deal with anger, because anger is going to come. Yes. And you got to learn. You're going to disagree with somebody. You're going to get bent out of shape. You got to know how to deal with it. You got to be able to deal with it. And so we can't spew out on everybody. Because you know what? If you spew out on everybody, here's what's going to happen. Pretty soon, people don't want to be around you. Listen, if you're constantly changing your group of friends because one just suddenly doesn't return calls and isn't there anymore, there's probably a reason. There's probably a reason. And so, because nobody wants to get skunked. And then that turtle, that's not a good way to deal with stuff either, because you know what's going to happen to that little turtle? He's going to put so much stuff in that shell that one day it's going to blow up. And he's just going to be like, I'm done. I can't live like this. And be gone. Neither one of those is a good way to deal with anger. Anger comes. We get angry. Even Jesus got angry. But we got to know how to deal with it. We don't want to spew all over people and lose control. We don't want to go into the shell and not deal with anything. We got to deal with stuff. But the thing is, if you're sitting here and saying, you know what, that's what I do. It's time to set a new pattern. It's time to say, you know what, this is how I've always done it. Whenever I get angry, I explode, I blow up, whatever. But today, I want to set a new pattern. I want to do it a different way because I don't want to hurt the people that I love. I don't want to not have love in my life because love is patient. I don't want to push people away from me. And I don't want to bottle stuff up to the point where I'm just going to be cold and frozen and bitter and not have the life that God had for me because I've been a turtle my whole life. We've got to set a new pattern and say, all right, how do I deal with anger? How do I become that patient person that God wants me to be? You know, the Bible tells us over in Proverbs 29:11, it says this, a fool gives full vent to anger. A wise person quietly holds it back. It's foolish to give full vent to your anger. Why is it foolish? And you know what the thing is? Because when we give full vent to our anger, it creates more anger and it gets worse. Here's the thing about anger. It can reproduce itself like nothing else. Once you're angry, if you just keep going, it just gets worse and worse and worse till usually you exhaust yourself. And then nothing, there's just like carcass of hurt all over you. It's not good. The Bible says a fool gives full vent to anger. You ever, remember guys, remember that Doritos commercial that said, eat all you want, we'll make more? Remember that? Yeah. That's how anger is. Keep going. Your body will make more. Anger can become a lifestyle for people. Where they, and you know what? And we see that. Where they're just angry at everybody and everything. And that is a miserable way to live. It's miserable. And you know what? The Bible also tells us over here in Proverbs 14:29, it says, slowness to anger makes for deep understanding. A quick-tempered person stockpiles stupidity. I didn't say it. That's in the Bible. It says, a slowness to anger makes for deep understanding. See, when we've got that long fuse, we're giving ourselves a chance to hear what's happening, get the whole picture, get a full understanding, and then we can respond instead of react. It's that slowness. But the Bible tells us that a quick-tempered person stockpiles stupidity. You know what that means? Have you ever seen somebody get so mad about something that they start breaking everything and they're throwing stuff down and they're breaking everything and you're looking at them and you're like, dude, that's your stuff, right? I mean, how stupid is that to break your own stuff? You got to pay for it and replace it. I mean, that you want to talk about stockpiling stupidity? There it is. There it is. You know, but it's that quick temper. Because, see, when we're reacting out of anger, there's no spirit man involved there. There's no wisdom involved there. It's just all explosive flesh. And it is not a good combination. And, you know, the thing is you may look at me and say, oh, you don't know. I do know. And you can ask my husband. I, at one point in my life, was a very quick-tempered, angry person. And you know, and hopefully that seems hard to believe. But you know what, there is a time, you know, Pastor Scott and I joke about our first year of marriage being, you know, just from hell. It was. And mostly it was my fault because I was so quick-tempered and so angry. I was just a jerk, for lack of a better word, just a jerk. And I didn't have that slow to understanding. I was just quick and not hearing the whole story and not understanding what was happening, just reacting and responding and just being, you know, there's a skill that some people have where you can slice and dice somebody and hurt their feelings and say very quick-witted, maybe funny things that hurt people. Anybody know anybody like that? Listen, I was like that. And so I remember, you know, just a couple of examples, just so you know that I'm not talking about something I don't know. I am talking about something I know. My anger, my quick temper, my stupidity nearly cost me what mattered most to me. My husband, my ministry. Because you can't be in ministry and be like that. You just can't. And so I had to cut a different pattern. And my parents weren't like that. I don't know what in the world happened to me. But you know what? I had just not dealt with stuff I needed to deal with. And so other stuff was causing me to lash out at this kind of stuff. And so I remember one time, you know, this is back before cell phones, if you can imagine a time. You know, you young people, there was a time before everyone had a phone. There was. But I had a beeper. And Pastor Scott used to like to beep me just to say, hey, you know, because he loved me so much. That's what he told me. I would just get irate. That thing would go off, and I'd look at it, and I'd just be like, hush. You know, for no reason. For no reason at all. Because he's not, like, keeping tabs on me or anything. He's just calling to say I love you. I mean, I was just a jerk. And so I remember one day that thing went off, and I was standing next to the road. And I looked at that thing, and I threw it in the middle of the intersection. And then I waited for a car to go by it, and the sense of satisfaction as that thing got crushed was beautiful. It was beautiful. I was like, there's your beeper. But it was me. I mean, I was horrible. You know, and I don't like to talk on the phone. Now you know. I don't like to talk on the phone. And so I was on the phone one day, and somebody's just talking and talking and talking and talking and talking and talking. You know, and I'm keeping my cool. I'm like, yeah. But man, as soon as that conversation ended, I just looked at that phone and I was like, I mean, I know what I'm talking about. I destroyed that phone. And Pastor Scott is like so even. He never gets mad about anything, you know, and everybody knows him says that. He comes home and he's like, what'd the phone do? So that just enrages me all over again. I mean, it was bad. It was bad. I was horrible. But you know what? I realized that I was saying stuff that was mean, and it was out of anger because I wasn't dealing with other issues that I needed to deal with. And they were coming out. There was casualties, beepers and phones and other things. Other electronics, just casualties. And so, you know, I had to deal with stuff. And so you got to be honest with yourself and say, hey, listen, this is not how love acts. Right. Don't fool yourself. That is not how love acts. And you can't keep going like that and expect to have healthy relationships. You can't keep going like that and expect to lead anywhere. Because it's not going to happen. And so I said, I was like, man, I got to get a grip. Because this is very unChrist-like. And I don't want to be like this. And I don't want to get divorced. You know, I'm in this for a one-time deal. You know, I'm going to, you know, if he leaves me, I'm going with him. Amen. You know, and that's just how it is. And if I leave him, he's coming with me. You know, I mean, we've just made a decision. That's how it is. There is no alternative. You are stuck with me. Sometimes they say, like, well, you're stuck with me, you know. And he says the same to me. And the thing is that I knew that I could not continue behaving like that and have a healthy relationship. I needed a new pattern. I needed to change. And so you know what I did? I did exactly what I'm telling you. I broke that pattern of anger. When that impatience, because a lot of it was just being so impatient, wanting things done right now, my way had to be that way. I had to change. And you know, and these may seem silly to you, but I stand before you a changed person. Amen. You can ask anybody, who knows these people that work with me, they know me well. They have seen me at my best, at my worst. They have seen me when the pressure, you can't believe the pressure that's been on me. And you can ask any one of them. I tell you, they don't lie. You can ask them if I'm a changed person. I got nothing to hide. God changed me. Amen. He changed me. But you know what I started doing? I needed to be a more patient person. So when I would go to Publix, I'd get in the longest line. I'd wait in it. I'd make myself wait there. Which, if you know me, when I first started, I'd be like, you know, they're about to, you know, someone's going to call for help for me. I'm just like, I can do it, you know. But I'd make myself wait there. You know, you're at the deli at Publix, an old lady's going to cut in front of you. You know how usually you're like, right? Better back off. I needed a new pattern. So if you need a new pattern, you got to do new things.
Amen.
And so when little old lady was there, I'd be like, go ahead. And then that's it. I wouldn't say, like, you obviously have more important things than I. None of that smarty stuff. You know? Because see, when you do it and then you add the smarty stuff, you're not doing it.
Right.
Just go ahead. Be blessed. Be blessed in Jesus' name. And at first, everything in you is like, this is not fair. It's my turn. But you know what? You're changing. And you never heard of growing pains? There's changing pains too.
Yes.
There's change. It's painful to keep your mouth shut when you're used to letting it go. But you know what? That's when you're becoming more Christ-like.
Amen.
Amen. It's painful to say, go ahead, go in front of me. It's painful to wait. It's painful to say, it's okay, I'm all right. It's painful to do those kind of things. It's painful to know that you are right, but keep your mouth shut because it doesn't really matter. But you know what? That's called maturity. That's called walking in love. That's called having patience in your life. That's having that long fuse. That's having love work. That, and you know what? When you start doing that, what you say starts to matter.
Right.
What you believe starts to matter. What you give starts to matter. What you do starts to matter because now love is in your life and the power of God works through love. Amen. Doesn't matter how much you know if you're a big jerk. That's just the truth. And so for me personally, I had to make a new pattern. You got to break that pattern. You got to say, you know what, I got to do things different. And then bring me the last one. We'll do two today. Break that pattern of anger. And then Proverbs 25:28, such a good verse. It says, if you cannot control your anger, you're as helpless as a city without walls open to attack. Because you know why? Because when you can't control your anger, now listen careful. When you're a hothead, you will say anything to win an argument. You will say anything to prove your point. You will say anything to put somebody in their place or so where you think they go. Because you've got so much anger. And you know, that's where damage begins. Those words, man, when you speak those words out, it's painful. Especially parents. Man, nobody has the power in your kid's life that you have. Nobody has the influence that you have. Nobody can build them or hurt them like you can. Nobody else. And so it's important that you don't become defenseless because you can't control your anger. Amen? Let's keep going. You know, the Bible tells us to guard our relationships. So number one thing, you want to change your pattern. Just get a different pattern. Say, you know what? I'm going to do it God's way from now on. I'm going to, you know, read the book of Proverbs. I used to just read Proverbs constantly. I still do it. I read it constantly because it talks so much in there about patience and not being angry and treating people well. The book of Proverbs will help you in these areas of your life. It helped me. It changed me. I got that word in me. The scriptures that we have here, they're on the Bible app. Get those and read them and speak them and say over yourself. I would stand in that long line at Publix when another line would open up and I'd be, I have a long fuse. I am a patient person. I have the love of God in me. I can wait.
Amen.
What was I doing? I was retraining myself. I was making a new pattern for me. And you know what? You can ask my husband. Suddenly, I became more patient at home. I wasn't as quick-tempered. God began a work in me, and he is still working in me because I still need help in this area. But I tell you, I am a different person than I was. Next thing we want to do is guard your relationships. Here's a great verse for you. We're going to end here because it's such a powerful verse. It preaches itself. Proverbs 22, 24, and 25, it says this, don't hang out with angry people. Don't keep company with hotheads. Bad temper is contagious. Don't get infected. Isn't that good? Don't hang out with angry people. Listen, here's the thing about when one person is angry, it's just as infectious. Next thing you know, the whole group is, you know, got their signs and ready to go. But here's the thing, the Bible says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they are the sons of God. Amen? So listen, if you're hanging out with a bunch of hotheads, it's time for a new pattern. You say, I'm married to one. It's time to pray. Amen? It's time to pray. You still got to hang out with them, but pray for them. You know, that's one thing. You know, there's, you know, especially you single people, when you're thinking about getting married, there is nothing that touches you more than hearing your spouse pray for you.
That's right.
There's nothing like that. There is nothing like your spouse praying for you. And I tell you, my husband prayed for me. He prayed for me, and I prayed for him. And we changed. Mostly me changed. I changed. But you know, the thing is that we don't want to, why put yourself in a situation where you're surrounded by people who are going a different direction than you want your life to go? That's just what it comes down to. You may have to work with a hothead. You don't have a choice. Pray for him and be that peacemaker. The anointing of God can do more in a moment than any amount of your talking can do. So just begin to pray for that person. Pray for them that whatever is hurting on the inside of them, that the Lord will help heal so it changes them. Because it's a true statement, hurting people hurt people.
Yes.
When I was such a jerk, I was hurting. I had stuff I had to deal with. We got to deal with stuff. But let's not be BFFs with an angry, hot-headed person that's getting you in trouble. It's just not a good idea. And the Bible says, if you do that, you're going to get infected. But I know there's some people in here today, I know it by the Spirit of God, I'm not pointing fingers or anything like that, but I know there's people in here that are just like I was. You're hurting about other issues, and they're causing you to be angry in every issue. And so I want to pray for you. So let's all just pray together. Father, I just pray for anyone in here today that has some things that maybe some hurts from the past or some situations they're dealing with, and it's just causing them to be angry in every situation. Lord, we know that the saying, hurting people hurt people, we know that's true. And so, Lord, I pray for every person in this room who is hurting. Holy Spirit, you are our helper, our comforter, and I just ask you to help. You're the revealer of truth, and I ask you, Holy Spirit, to speak to these people. Show them that it is possible to set a new pattern, that it's possible to change, that all those hurts on the inside, if they'll give them to you, you will mend their broken heart. Lord, I just thank you that no matter where we are, you are always there to help us. And we are never too far away from you. We are never too far gone. We can go 1,000 steps away from you, but you are always one step back. And so, Lord, I just pray for every hurting person here today. Those who have been running from you because it hurts so bad. Those who are hiding hurts from you. And those who just don't want to deal with them. Lord, I pray that they would take a step back into you. And that you would do what you do best. Heal, restore, redeem. Oh, I just thank you for that, Lord Jesus. If you're here today and you say, you know what, that prayer is for me. That prayer is for me. I just want, we'll all say it with you, but just as a point of contact to join in an agreement, I want you to just say this with me. Say, Lord, I thank you that you are a healer, a forgiver, and a restorer. I ask you to heal my broken heart, to restore what's been stolen, and to help redeem relationships that have been damaged. I'm setting a new pattern today in Jesus' name. Now, if you're here today with every head bowed and every eye closed just for a minute, maybe you're here today and you came in and you weren't aware that Jesus is so, so in love with you, that he loves you so much. Maybe you came in today thinking that the walls would cave in or whatever. But I'm here to tell you that you've come to the right place at the right time, because God loves you so much. He's not interested in what you've done. He's interested in what you'll do right now. The blood of Jesus will take care of anything in your past. And the power of God will help everything for your future. But you got to start at the starting place. And that's by accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior. So if you're here, maybe you got a different idea of God. You thought he was angry with you or just wanted to tell you all the do's and don'ts. No, that's not who God is. God loves you. God wants to help you in your life. God wants to save you. He wants to rescue you from hell and have a place for you in heaven. That's God. But it all starts with Jesus. By receiving him, receiving the gift of salvation. That means all your sins are forgiven. You get power to live life on this earth, to change, and you've got eternal security with God the Father. If that's you and you say, I want that gift, it's a gift because it's free. You don't have to work for it. You don't have to change for it. You don't have to straighten up for it. All you got to do is receive it. Receive Jesus. So if you're here today with just out of respect for people, not looking around, this is their moment with God. And you say, that's me. I want that gift. I want the gift of Jesus. If that's you, just raise your hand up big and tall and say, that's me. I see your hand. Anybody else? I see your hand in the back. Anybody else? You can put your hand down. Anybody else? Say, I need this gift of Jesus, gift of forgiveness, gift of power, gift of salvation. Oh, thank you, Lord. For the two who raised their hand, let's all say this prayer together. Because once you come into the family of God, it's a together business. We're in this together. So for the two who raised your hand, let's just all say this together. Say, Father God, I receive the gift of Jesus. The gift of forgiveness, of restoration, and eternal security in heaven. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. He came, he died, he rose again, all for me. I am a believer, a Christian, born again, on fire, on my way to heaven, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. God is so good. You know what? Today's the first day of a great journey. But you know what? All good road trips have one thing in common. Friends. Amen. A good road trip always has one thing in common. Somebody there with you. And this journey is no different. We're here to walk it out with you. So don't try to do it alone. It's just no fun alone. That's what we're here for. So make sure you come down. Let us pray for you. Let us just welcome you into the family and give you a free gift. Amen? Here's what we're going to do. We're going to receive our supernatural tithes and offerings. Everybody excited about that? Yeah. Woo! Glory. That's pretty good. All right. How many got big plans for tomorrow? Who has to work tomorrow? Anybody have to work tomorrow? We just pray. You know what? Be thankful you got a job. Amen? Yeah. That's a good attitude. Be thankful you got a job. But we'll be thinking about you. We got tomorrow off. Who's doing a big cookout tomorrow? Anybody that we can crash? No, I'm kidding. All right.
We like ribeyes.
Yeah. Here we go. We're going to receive our offering. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to sow. We're just so grateful and thankful. In Jesus' name, amen.